Okay, I want to thank the Parnas Hayom for Yud Beis Kislev as the Ross family. Li'ilui Nishma Zilpa Bas Rivka, M'sham M'sham Liyev, Shalai Simcha Nachas and Brocha. We ended the last shiur with a very, very big question. And without trying to understand this, we can't really complete our discussion of the Malach of Zareah, which hopefully over the next few weeks we'll move on to Chayresh. But in order to be able to really understand not only Zareah but all the Malachas, we ended last week with the question of on the one hand, Shabbos is nachla bli mitzar. Everything about Shabbos is bli mitzar. It's me'ein olam haba. But then the reality of Shabbos is such katnus, such unbelievable katnus, where you can move, where you can walk, what you could touch, what you could open, what you can close. That for any person who is new to Shabbos, it feels like the opposite of harchava, expansiveness, and godless. It feels like tzimtzum. Everything is tzimtzum, mitzumtzum. Everything is picking on, tiny. And the problem is that unless we shift from a secular understanding of what menucha means, menucha, rest, to the Torah's definition of Shabbos, which we say in Davening, menuchas emes ve'amuna, then none of this stuff can make sense to us. None of Hilchos Shabbos can make sense to us. And I'm doing this now, but it's going to carry us to all the Lamed Tes, we should all be healthy and well and continue on in Yerushalayim. But through all of these malachas, to understand this Yisod, and we'll get this specifically next week. I don't think that I'm going to be Yad Kislev. I've been going the last few years to give a shmuz if I bring me somewhere. But through all of these shiurim, to be able to understand through the Lamed Tes malachas this Yisod. And in order to understand this, let's try to learn this piece from Rabbi Nachman. When I say a piece from Rabbi Nachman, I mean mamish, a tiny little piece from Tinyana Ayin Beis. You should have it. It was from 2 weeks ago. I think you still have it. Last week, right? Tinyana Ayin Beis. I'm sure every one of you owns a look at the map. But we're just going to the beginning. We're not going to really talk about the Inyan of the Tzaddik, which the tzaddik and Shabbos is one sugya, but we're going to be talking about the Shabbos part of this. Tinyana Ayin Beis Da. You know there are some Torahs that begin with the word Da, means you should know, but there's a Masorah that these are the Torahs that Rabbi Nachman is bringing down from the highest place when he begins with the word Da. You should know. Shiluros es atzmo im tzaddik ha'emes hu gam kein. And I'm not going to dwell on this. To be able to be in the presence of a true tzaddik is itself a great thing. And how much more so? If you're not only able to be in the presence of a true tzaddik, but you're actually able to hear Torah from a true tzaddik. Humayli yaseira, that's even greater. Avolgam kishain shaman Torah, but even if you're not able to hear Torah from him. Hari ilavad, just seeing the tzaddik. Shazarich and Leros is atzmo im tzaddik, and not just to see the tzaddik, but to see yourself in the presence of the tzaddik. There's a lot that's a whole discussion. That's not for now. It's not just seeing the tzaddik. For that you could watch a show. It's to see yourself in the presence together with the tzaddik. Hu gam kein tov maod, even if the tzaddik, even if you don't hear a word from him. There's a story of Uri Streliskin, Reb Shlomo Lekalina, where he walked for a couple of weeks to go see the tzaddik, and then he finally got there, and there were people around, there were all the chassidim around the tzaddik, and Reb Uri Streliskin climbed on some shoulders and looked at the face of Reb Shlomo Lekalina, and then he got down and he went back home. That was it. He just needed to see that. There's an inyan liros atzmo im atzadik, to see oneself with the tzadik. Who gam ken tov mod kaidei sharonis atzmo im atzadik aidei zema kablin gedula. That by seeing oneself with the tzaddik, you are able to be affected by that gedula, by that greatness. Now, what does gedula mean? Now, here's where we come to our sugya. Remember, we were learning the two mahalchim in the Melach of Zareya, bittel and smicha, bittel and ischachus, right? Bittel and ischachus. So we've been talking about for weeks. Bittel and Eschachus. So what is gedula? What is greatness? What's the greatness that a person feels when being together with a tzaddik? What's that greatness? What is it? Because it's the greatness of Shabbos as well. What is the greatness of being with a tzaddik? What's the greatness of being with Shabbos? We'll get to Shabbos in a minute. So he says a very strange thing. I mean, it seems like a strange thing. It's not strange. It seems like it's strange. V'ikra ha-gedula hi-shiflus. V'ikra ha-gedula, the main aspect of greatness, what greatness is shiflus. Now, how do you translate shiflus? There's no real English word, because it doesn't mean loneliness. And it's not exactly humility. It's the bittul that we're talking about. What is greatness? Greatness is shiflus. Mashpili hamashpili liros. Shiflus means when one doesn't see oneself as something. But in a holy way, we'll see in a second. The ikar hagdula hi shiflus. K'moshim etzino es l'Hashem es baruch. Where do we see that the ikar gdula is shiflus? We see that by Hashem. Where the Gemara says, "Kol mokum shatam moitzei gedulas shel Kadosh Baruch Hu, shom atam moitzei in v'sinuso." The Gemara says that wherever you see Hashem's greatness, you see His humility, His shiflus. Ma'od ma'od hevi shval ruach, to be exceedingly humble. That's probably how it's translated, the Mishnah. Where the Gemara says, wherever you see Hashem's greatness, you see His shiflus, so to speak. Hamashpili liros. That Hashem has this midah of lowering Himself to even the lowest person, the lowest thing on earth. That's where you see Hashem's greatness. So greatness is to be found by shiflus. True greatness, Rabbi Nachman says, is shiflus. Ki ikar gedula hi shiflus. And now he speaks about tchias ha-meisim. V'ikar tchiyah lo'asid, and the ikar of what's going to return to life in the future by Tchias HaMeisim, Shiyamdu B'Tchiyah V'Yichyu Chayim Nitzchiyah. What's going to happen by Tchias HaMeisim? What is it that's going to come back to life and live forever? Ikim HaShiyah Nichyah V'Yokim B'Tchiyah Hu HaShiflus Shal Kol Echad. The Ikim that's going to return to life is that shiflus of each and every person. The person's shiflus is what's going to come back to life. And that shiflus of each person, that shiflus is what's going to return and it's going to be revived, come back to life. B'pchina says, it says in the pasuk, Hakitsu v'rananu shochnei ofar. The pasuk of Tchias HaMeisim is, wake up and rejoice, shochnei ofar. Those who are dwelling in the dirt, which means the dead, coming back to life. So Chazal say, who's going to come back to life? Those who were like dirt during their lifetimes. In other words, the one who is a shofel is going to, that part of us that's called shiflus, that's going to be revived by Tchias HaMeisim. That's how we're going to come back to life. To that nekuda of shiflus, of ayin. The same way as we've been talking about with the seed, that the way that it works is where the seed, there could only be that hischachus of something that will grow from this seed, only at that point when the seed becomes bottled to the earth. right? At that point of shiflus. In other words, what's the tchias amesim of a seed? How does the seed come back to life? You take this little thing and mivaf the rice in the ground. How does it come back to life? What revives it? That you walk back, you walk past this place a couple of years later, and you see, you know, there's a magnificent tree with fruit. How did it have a tchia? It had a tchia through its shiflus, through its humility, through its letting go of itself. It's letting go of itself, of its ego, of who I am, and through that becoming somehow one with the earth. And as a result of that, bittul, now there could be this remarkable, miraculous hischatzus of a tree with fruit. That's what happens. So it says in Pasuk, Hakitz v'ana shochin l'ofer, and Darshu b'sensachon l'var, mi shenase shochin l'ofer b'chayiv. How did the dead come back to life? Or what aspect of it, what does it mean to come back to life? The same way that the seed, when it's bottled and it's in this place of shiflus, then it's able to come back in a much greater way than ever before. So too, it's with each and every one of us by tchias ameis. Ki ikra tchuma b'tchia yirak l'shiflus. The ikra tchuma, that ikra of the tchia of rising up, is only b'shiflus. So shiflus looks like, you know, he repeats, but we don't have time to go into all the diukim with how the words are in what order. So shiflus, lost. Fine. Now he talks about tanug and Shabbos. Ki tanug olam haba, because the delight and the pleasure of the next world, ki tanug olam haba, ef shalona lahasig achshav. We can't really understand now. In this world, we can't understand the tanug of the next world. And the reason is that right now we're in a gvul. We're contained within certain boundaries, within a certain tzimtzum, a limitation, the same way that the seed is limited to that little thing. It's stuck in its gvul. And because of that, wherever there's a gvul, wherever there are limitations and boundaries, the tanug cannot be complete. The pleasure cannot be complete. Delight, pleasure, tanug cannot be complete where there are boundaries and limitations. It's only limitlessness. It's only Ein Seifius that can bring to complete and full tanug. Like there's a teaching from one of the great Mekubalim, the Baal HaSulam, Zechus Yelenu. He's talking a lot with Kabbalah, this Indian, but he speaks about how if you have a person that his entire life is living as an Adam Gadol, he could be Mugbal by his greatness. What does that mean, to be Mugbal by his greatness? Greatness itself is a limitation. Because we don't know what would happen to this person if he lost all of his madrigas. No, what would happen? He's a huge Talmud Chacham. And he's a big tzaddik and everything. But what would happen to him if God forbid, he was nichshel in something? Or life fell apart? So we don't know if he would continue to be great when he's no longer in his place of greatness. So the Sulam says how gadlus is itself a gvul, because it's limited to that status of greatness. What happens to this person if he's no longer in that place of greatness? Could be that he'll be destroyed. It could be he'll be crushed. It could be he'll be a nobody, a nothing. So even greatness itself is mugbal. You following this? I mean, it's the beginning, but even greatness is mugbal. And then if a person, let's say, is a schlepper. So we understand that he's that's also, of course, a gvul. That's a certain limitation. because tomorrow he could become somebody that's much greater than that, much different than that. And right now he has this feeling like, I can never change, I can never become a great person. And that's a gvul. Wherever there's a gvul, wherever there are boundaries and limitations, even if you're great, but there's also a boundary or limitation, wherever there's a limitation or a boundary, there cannot be true tanug. Tanug is something that comes only through bittul to that which is infinite. Not through any definition of the self, there cannot be tanug. There can be some tanug, but it can't be full tanug. It's a gvul. A person who sees himself only in a state of godless is mugbal by his godless, and a person who sees himself in a place of katnas is mugbal by his katnas. That's how it is. Therefore, the Rebbe says that gam oinik Shabbos shumein olam haba. Shabbos oinik Shabbos is mein olam haba. Omer Rabbi says zechron levracha kol ma'anig is a Shabbos. So the Gemara says, if a person is ma'anig is a Shabbos, if a person has oinik Shabbos, nois loy nachlo bli mitzar, then he's able to receive an infinite portion, without boundaries, without borders, without limitation. Nachla b'li mitzar, without any gvul. Hainu b'li gvul. Ki oinik Shabbos, shu mein olam haba, because oinik Shabbos is mein olam haba, hu b'chinas bilti gvul. Shabbos in our lives, in this world, is a taste of that which is bilti gvul. Shabbos is a time in this world of limitations and tzimtzum and restriction and constriction and smallness. Shabbos is a taste of that oneg of a reality that's bilti gvul, without boundaries. So again, so then the question, of course, is, if that's the case, then why is it that every single thing about Shabbos is boundaries? The Shabbos boundary. And you can't walk past the boundary, the tchum. And everything has a shear. You write one letter, you write two letters, you're ready. Everything is boundaries and limitations. And now the Rebbe's talking about oneg, and the only place that could be oneg is bilti gvul, without boundaries. But there are no boundaries. So then, how is it that Shabbos is mein olam haba, and that the only way we come into contact with something which is bilti gvul is by entering into a place that seems to be more mugbal than any other day of... right now, we could turn this switch on and off. But on Shabbos, you can't touch it. On Shabbos, it seems like every single thing has a sign on it that there's a gvul. Like in Eretz Yisrael, you gotta be careful where you drive. Every single thing on Shabbos has a gvul. And Reb Nachman is saying, "Oynik Shabbos umein olam haba hu b'chinas bilti gvul." Val kein, ikke chaim nitzchiim shelo ozer lavo, b'chinas tanug olam haba. He comes back to shiflus. Therefore, the ikke chayim nitzchim that will come back to life by tchias ameisim, which is what? That tanug that we're going to have by olam haba, by tchias ameisim, that pleasure, the ikke that is, only la shiflus shakol echad, only the shiflus. Ki shiflus va'anivus, here's where he breaks through the question and comes to the answer. Because shiflus va'anivus hu b'chinas bilti gvul. Because shiflus and anivus, humility, is b'chinas bilti gvul. That's the b'china of without limitation, without boundaries. Why? Ki b'chinas ayin mamish. Because that's the seed. When the seed disintegrates into the earth, when the seed loses itself and becomes bottled to the earth, It's no longer a yesh. Everything that's yesh, everything that is yesh is limited and finite. That's the definition of reality, of physical reality. When that yeshus, when that self is transformed into ayin, into nothing, ve'en lo shum gvul, then there are no boundaries. There are no longer any borders or boundaries. Machshu b'tachlis anivus, but true anivus, not false anivus. V'ikachai nitzchim shel olam habu rak bebechinis bilti gvul kanal. Because the Ikka Chaim Nitzchim, the eternal life of a Jew beyond this world, is Bilti Gvul, is a life without boundaries, without borders. V'alken Shabbos, and therefore Shabbos, Shume'ein Olam Haba, therefore Shabbos, which is Me'ein Olam Haba, Nemar Bo, it says regarding Shabbos, To'amer Chaim Zochu. Those who taste Shabbos in this world, our zoicha are able to taste chayim, true life, meaning life beyond the grave, life after this life. To'amer chayim zoch. Kimisha toim tam oinig Shabbos. Now, this is not what all the caterers that are called oinig Shabbos are talking about. You understand? Kimisha toim tam oinig Shabbos, because anybody who tastes a tam of Oynik Shabbos, Zoyche L'chaim. He's able to be Zoyche L'chaim Nitzchiyim. T'chiyas HaMeisim. It doesn't just mean that he becomes worthy to come back to life after he dies. It means that in this world, he's already tasting something that's without limit, without boundaries. B'chinis Chaim Nitzchiyim, Kanal. The Torah is much longer. And if you're free for a couple of years, to learn the rest of this Torah. But ad kan l'inyanenu ad kan. Beside no sochevra, it wasn't my idea to look at this piece of Rabbi Nachman to answer the question. I saw this from Rav Kluger, Zogazonzai, that he said, take a look here in this entire Ayin base. So how does this answer the question? Remember the question. Everything about Shabbos seems to be gvul, boundaries, limitations, shiurim. And Rabbi Nachman Chazal are telling us Shabbos is nachla b'li mitzarim, oyin g'Shabbos is chayim nitzchiyim, oyin g'Shabbos is olam haba, me'ein olam haba toimeh chayim zochu. How did Rabbi Nachman answer the question? How did Rabbi Nachman answer that? What's he saying about this? This is obviously what he's concerned with. So what's he saying? No. Hilchos Shabbos is everything about Hilchos Shabbos, and that's why Zorei is the first. Everything about Shabbos. Now, it's all the tzimtzumim of Shabbos that we experience. We as very simple people, who our definition of menucha is like, you know, resting, just getting a good nap, or, you know, floating off in the Pacific somewhere. That's our idea of menucha. But menuchas emes ve'emuna means what Rabbeinu was saying. Menuchas emes ve'emuna means to be free of the limitations of the lamatas malachas. That's what he's saying. There's a lamatas malachas, which the Svarim call the 39 curses of Adam and Chava when they were forced out of Gan Eden, where they were told, where they were told, listen, Chava, no more, you know, you got to work. And you got to work means lamatas malachas. That's what work is, 39 malachas, with all of the stuff. That's work. Adam and Chava was sent out from Gan Eden, and they were sent into a world of 39 tzimtzumim, 39 restrictions and gvulim of the physical world of working 6 days of the week. And each one of those Lamed Tes Malachas, each one of the 39 Malachas, is a Tzimtzum, is a Gvul to that infinite Tanug of being without limitations. Because outside of Gan Eden, which was Tanug, we were told, do this, 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 39 times. In order to live, you have to do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. And then what happens on Shabbos? On Shabbos is, don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Now, because we're silly, we hear the "don't do this" as restrictions, because we feel that that's limiting us. The "don't do this." But what really is happening is mitzad echad, the person has to mitzamsim himself to keep all of Hilchos Shabbos. You know, you hold yourself back. Don't turn on the light. Don't move the thing. So mitzad echad, there's this feeling of tzimtzum, because we're guarding the halacha very carefully. But mi'idach, but on the other hand, the tachlis of that withdrawal from the 39 tzimtzumim, the 39 states of constriction of the curse of physical life, that frees the person and brings the person into a metzias that's called bilti gvul, which is me'ein olam haba. The gvulim of this world are the 39 malachas. Those are the 39 boundaries and limitations. Those are the 39 curses of Adam and Chava when they were thrown out of Gan Eden. Gan Eden was a place of idun, of Eden, of tanig, of oynik on the shamas, on the fashas. Eden, that was Gan Eden. What happened, and after that, we were sent into 39 types of tzimtzumim, of constrictions, of limitations. Zareya and the rest, planting and the rest, in order to be able to exist. With the prohibitions of the 39 malachas, we are being freed of those 39 tzimtzumim, and we are being brought into a place which Chazal described as klum chaser bebeis hamelech. Welcome to the palace of the king. In the palace of the king, the food is already cooked. In the palace of the king, the house is already clean. In the palace of the king, you don't plant something, it's being served to you. Shabbos. In the palace of the king, klum chaser bebeis hamelech. Is there anything that's lacking? Is there anything that's missing in the beis hamelech? Now, if we feel that as constrictive, it's because that's what Rabbi Nachman said before, that in this world, before Mashiach comes, we can't completely get this. We can't be masking this. Because when it comes down to it, you feel like you come to the room and it's dark in the room, and you know that your favorite sefer is sitting someplace in that room, and now you can't find it. So yeah, Shabbos is coming and it's getting in the way. Or you want to go visit a friend, and the friend, you can't get in the car. So because of our secular definition of Menucha, which is completely about Yeshus, about Gaiva and Yeshus, about making our lives more complicated with the 39 Malachas, the 39 curses of Adam and Chava, Shabbos comes and says, Bittul, the seed is placed into the ground. And when the seed is placed into the ground, it loses itself. And through that loss of self, it is able to discover a life infinitely, infinitely greater than the small seed that it once was. It's able to discover a tree with peiros for eternity. So what Rabbi Nachman is teaching us here, and this is a lima that we need for all the malachas, is that every issur malacha, and even the isurim that come midrabanan and moving something, muktze, whatever, all of those isurim, where the person is on a superficial level being magbil himself, limiting himself, limiting his motion, limiting his freedom, But the truth is, what the Torah is telling him is that to limit his life of being limited, that's what it means. To stop for one day that life of limitations, that's a life of 39 malachas. Without those 39 malachas, physical life is unbearable. And if we feel that Shabbos is something that limits us, or people from the outside who are not Jewish, or Jews, lavdil, who are not religious, and they look at us and they feel bad because they see that we're very limited on Shabbos. But you know that we don't feel that way. Tomer Chaim Zochu, every single person that's sitting right now in the Beis Medrash, you and I know that on Shabbos you feel free. But an outsider sees us as being mamish slaves. They think that we're crazy keeping Shabbos. What do you mean? You can't, you gotta have a clock and you gotta set it and you gotta, what is that? You can't turn on anything. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't. But we understand that Shabbos is Menuchas Emes Ve'emuna. Menuchas Emes Ve'emuna. It's not Menuchas, it's Menuchas Emes Ve'emuna. Let's go back to talking for a second about the Sulam was saying. The Sulam was talking about how even greatness is a gvul. Right? Even greatness is a gvul. Katness is a gvul. Greatness is a gvul. So what is it to be bilti gvul? Bilti gvul, we understand now, means without as much as one can be in this world. Bilti gvul is like when you read a story about Rabbi Levine, right? Rabbi, who was the highest, greatest person in the world. And he went walking on Shabbos across the whole Yerushalayim to go to the leper's hospital and to spend Shabbos with people who were terribly, terribly sick. Or that he went to spend Shabbos with the prisoners in the Russian compound, right? This is what he did. This is what he did every Shabbos. That's how he spent his life. That's godless. Why is that godless? Godless means, true godless is that you're not limited to be in a place of godless in order to be a godl. That's a limitation. If your only godless is when you're in the Beis HaMedrash, if your only godless is when you're with great people, if your only godless is when you're doing what you like to do and you're learning and davening and all that stuff, if that's your only godless, that means that your godless is what? Mugbal. It means that your godless, your greatness, has a limitation. It has a shear. Rabbi's godless was infinite. Or when Rabbi himself spoke about his Rebbe's greatness, about Rav Kook's greatness, and Rabbi used to say that everything that Rav Kook did was great. He said, Rabbi said, I saw many tzaddikim. He was in Yerushalayim. So I saw many tzaddikim in my life. But there were moments that they weren't tzaddikim. But by Rav Kook, everything that he did was godless. That means that even when Rav Kook was Isaac and Katnus, it was godless. Because true godless is bilti gvul. And bilti gvul means that it's not. I don't have to be in the Beis HaMedrash. I don't have to be with my Gemara. I don't have to be in a place. I don't have to be by the Kaisel. I don't have to be in my yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael to be in a place of godless. I could be in a miserable place of katnus. I could be chas v'chalila, God forbid, sitting in a concentration camp, chas v'chalila. But in this place, I am free. I'm free. In this place, I am able to. Rabbi went there to help other people, to do for other people. He wasn't limited to his definite, to our definition, or to what seems to be the definition of what godless is. Godless is, true godless is bilti gvul. It's without a gvul. Because true godless depends on bittul. And bittul means that Rabbi understood, not everybody could do that, but Rabbi understood that his job in life was to go on Shabbos and visit these sick people, or to go visit the prisoners. That was his thing. That means He went into the lowest place, to the lowest place with the sickest people. Just like Chazal tells the Mashiach is sitting with all the lepers at the gate of Rome. What's Mashiach doing in such a place? How come Mashiach's not sitting in Shari Chesed? How come Mashiach's not sitting by the Kaisel? Chazal tells, where's Mashiach? Mashiach is sitting by all the sick left people that are Menugoyim, by the arch of Rome. Why is Mashiach sitting in that place? Because Mashiach is betachlis agadlis. And betachlis agadlis is bilti gvul. And bilti gvul means that I'm not only great when I'm in a place of greatness, I'm always great, even in a place of katness. So Shabbos is a time where from a very shallow and non-Jewish perspective, these restrictions of Shabbos are tzimtzumim, are katnas, are smallness. But from the perspective of an Adam Godel, from that perspective of true godless, it's just the opposite. These limitations are what free him from all the gvulim of this world. Maybe I'll just end with a very simple example. And I spoke about a story that I heard years ago from Reb Shlomo Feivold, Zecher Tzaddik Levracha. But I'm not going to go through the whole story now. But let's what the story was about. You have a person, let's say, that works the whole week. He works very hard, and he's looking forward to his Einik Shabbos. Right? He had a hard week. He was busy the whole week, and he's looking forward to Shabbos. It's a mechai. It's a long Friday night. It's Parshas Vayishlach. And he's looking forward the whole week to his Einik Shabbos. And he has a fantastic Kabbalah Shabbos, a fantastic, fantastic Maariv. And he's with his best friends in his favorite place to daven, and it's Gevaldik. And he comes home, and he loves his wife, he loves his kids, and he sings Shalom Aleichem. Life couldn't get better than this. It's Gevaldik. The only thing is that his wife forgot to prepare his favorite kugel, right? She had a hard week also, and she forgot to prepare his favorite kugel. And he turns to his wife and says, "You know, I was so looking forward to Shabbos. The whole week I was looking forward to Shabbos, and I was looking forward to that oynig of having that piece of kugel that you make the best kugel in the world." Now, I just want to tell you, even though I love you, Mamish, you were a makalk of my whole Onik Shabbos. You ruined my Shabbos. You ruined my Shabbos. Stam katnis, you understand? It's katnis. It's an unbelievable katnis. It's a smallness. True Onik Shabbos is bilti gvul. And bilti gvul means that his einik Shabbos doesn't depend upon a couple of potatoes, a couple of noodles. His einik Shabbos doesn't depend on potatoes and lakshin. That's not his einik Shabbos. What he thought he was going to have, that's his einik Shabbos. And now he feels bad. Kilo she was makalkal his Shabbos. But true einik Shabbos is like the seed that is able to come finally to Shabbos and to shed itself of its ego, of its need to have godless in the way that it wants to have godless, which is all filled with tzimtzumim. Because this poor guy, his whole Shabbos is mitzumtzum to potatoes. It's the most pathetic thing. His whole Shabbos depends on potatoes. That's the opposite of being without limitations. He's the most limited person. He's limited to potatoes. His whole Shabbos is potatoes. And if he didn't get the potatoes that he wanted, he feels mamish that he has no Shabbos. That person is living chutz mi beis hamelach. You understand? Outside the palace. Inside the palace is the seed divested of itself, just being inside the palace, being inside the klum chutz mi beis hamelach. But your potatoes. It's not about your potatoes. It's you're finally freed from thinking about potatoes. That's what Shabbos is. You're finally free to think of something bigger than the 39 malachas that bring potatoes into the world. By planting a potato and taking a potato and preparing a potato and all the malachas that go into making your kugel. You're free of that. You're free of that. That's why the eating on Shabbos is an Indian of eating Shabbos, is to eat in a different way completely. It's Dafka, you are able to enter into that palace of the king, into that place that's called Nachla Bli Mitzarim, only when you are able to come into contact with what is called Menuchas Emes Ve'emuna. This is Menuchas Emes Ve'emuna. Menuchas Emes Ve'emuna. It's not Menucha what they say in the world, Menucha. Menuchas Emes Ve'emuna. Menuchas Emes Ve'emuna. And that person of Menuchas Emes Ve'emuna, he could be Chas V'Chalil in jail, like when the Alter Rebbe was in prison, and they thought that he was in prison, then it came time for him to leave. He took off his own things and he walked out. He was the Adam Gadol, wherever he is Gadol. But the godless is not because of what he has, his freedom or his potatoes. The godless is because, from that perspective of an Adam Gadol, he's able to be bottled like a seed to the infinite, infinite presence of the King of all kings, and to be in the Beis HaMelech, in the palace of the king. And when you're in the palace of the king, potatoes. My nap. You ever have that you're expecting to have your marathon nap or something, and then turned out that it didn't work out? Your wife said, I'm supposed to go to some ladies' tea or something. He said, what? You're telling me that you're going to a tea with some friends and enjoying that friendship and hearing a shiur is more important than my nap? Is that what you're saying? She says, yeah. Or you just got into a good place, and some kid comes in and starts making you crazy. And that's all. Oy Shabbos. For this, I had to wait a whole week for this. A whole week. No. Bittel. That's what Michis Chinuch is talking about. Bittel. The zera in the ground becomes one with the ground. And when it's something much bigger than a seed. It's infinite. Infinite, infinite. It's not what the world says it means to rest, which means feed your ego. Have your potatoes. Have your sleep. Have what you want. What you want. What you want. What you want. The seed becomes a tree the second it lets go of what it wants. Understand? Then it becomes a tree. As long as it's demanding what it wants, it's a miserable little nothing. It's a potato. It's nothing. When it lets go of what it wants and it enters into that infinite world that Rabbi Nachman is talking about, bilti gevul, chayim nitzchiim. Rabbi Nachman says, what comes back to life forever? That part of the person that's bottle, shiftless. That's eternal life. Shiftless is eternal life, and in this world we can taste it in Shabbos. Now the next year we're going to go back and talk Befrat into the Indian of Zareya more and finish up the Melach of Zareya. So next week I'm going to be away. We'll continue the following.